the Senate Resource Committee May 4th to order. First item we're going to take up is going to be House Bill 26, present at the current time, or Senator Seekins, Senator Dyson, and myself, Senator Wagner. House Bill 26 is short-term commercial fishing crew member license. I'd like to hear from the sponsor first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name's Adam Berg, staff to Representative Moses. House Bill 26 is a pretty simple bill. What it does is allows the purchase of a 7-day commercial fishing crew member license for $30. The only option available now for crew members is an annual license. Price is $60 for residents, $180 for non-residents. The reason for introducing the bill is to try to give commercial fishermen some more opportunities to earn a living. One possibility would be to charge tourists to participate in the commercial fishing industry hands-on. Right now they could go out and observe, but you can't touch a net, you can't touch a fish, you can't untie a boat, you can't do anything without a crew member license. The second
presentation from the sponsor on House Bill 286. Go ahead, Sarah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Sarah Nielsen, staff to Representative Samuels. This is a simple housekeeping bill that was brought forward by Municipal Light and Power. Basically, MLNP used to contract with Shell and then bought Shell's interest in the field. And DNR agreed to let MLNP continue to receive the current statute treatment based on the MLNP Shell contract, even after MLNP bought Shell's interest. But that particular contract expires at the end of this year, and this bill simply amends current statute by adding language that allows DNR to use the gas transfer price set by the RCA, much like DNR uses the contract price for gas. The transfer price is the rate that MLNP is required to charge itself for the gas that it uses. The proposed change is consistent with the purpose of the original law and also will help ensure that Anchorage electric consumers have certainty in their electric rates. And that is basically the bill. I know that RCA, MLNP, and also DNR, Oil and Gas Division, should be standing by for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of Ms. Nielsen? Thank you, sir. First, we'll go off net. Jim Posey. You on there, Jim?
Yes, thank you. Good evening.
Go ahead.
MLNP brought this forward, as Ms. Nielsen said, just to make sure that we had a process that allowed RCA to make its determination about our price, and then if that was deemed to be unreasonable, then submit that to DNR for their process, and it just made it an A plus B rather than an A and a B that we'd be looking at the same time. And therefore, a fairly simple change that was actually drafted by, the final piece drafted by DNR's personnel. And, I'll answer any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Posey? No questions, Mr. Posey. Thank you very much. Andy Lehman?
Yes, we're in Anchorage. We're standing ready for questions.
Okay, you just... are there any questions of Mr. Lehman? Also, for the committee's... information, Martin Schultz from Oil and Gas is standing by to answer any questions you might have on House Bill 286. At this time, Kate Guyard, I'm getting better.
You're just fine, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Resources Committee, my name is Kate Guyard. I'm the chairman of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and I have looked at this bill and also have looked at our recent orders that we issued regarding the setting and establishment of the transfer price. And the process that I wanted to talk to you about, which would normally occur, is annually MLNP will come before the RCA and will provide their proposed transfer price to us. We will evaluate it. We will put it out for public notice. If the public advocate, which is represented in the Attorney General's office, has any questions, they will come in and look at it. We'll hold a hearing. So there is a pretty good public process for this transfer price to be set. So I wanted to come and tell you that and give you the confidence that I don't believe the DNR will have a challenge with the results of the transfer price being too low. I think that it's calculated, it's well laid out in an order that we issued, U 9735, order number 35, which I can make available to you. But I did want to come before you and let you know that the RCA is quite confident that the transfer price will be set fairly.
Any questions of Ms. Guyart?
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
At this time, we have before us a CS. Chair would entertain a motion to adopt the CS in lieu of the original bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Guest.
I move Senate CS for House Bill 286/F.
Okay. We now have the CS in front of us. Basically, just Mary Jackson. We'll have Mary go through and explain what this CS does, and then have some time for some questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I'm staff to Chairman Senator Wagner and aide to this committee. The exploration credits are now contained within House Bill 286. And straight up what the exploration credits did, and I know there was a little bit of discussion with this on Monday, but you've had most of them before you in the form of Senate Bill 53. But there are some changes. First of all, it extends the exploration credits that we adopted in 2003 to every place in Alaska south of the Brooks Range to the year 2010. And the reason for that was Nenana Basin was added, and then Red Dog was added, and then Healy was added, and then Cook Inlet was added. So the issue was, as each one was added, the title got larger for the inclusion of each area, and there finally came a point where they said, let's just do it south of, and that's exactly what happened. Now, Cook Inlet is still in the title. You can see it's in the title of this CS, and the reason why it is because there are specific standards for Cook Inlet. We talked about those before this committee again for Senate Bill 163. The Cook Inlet standards were within 3 miles and 10 miles rather than the outside of 3 miles and the outside of 25 miles. This bill is different than the House Bill 71 credits in three other areas actually. It clarifies a situation that arose with credits for the 2003 expiration enhancement bill that passed. There was a regulation that was adopted. There was some confusion about were those credits correct? Were they interpreted properly? So what we have done in this bill is say expiration credits from the original piece of legislation are effective through 2007, but expiration credits that will be effective in this piece of legislation are under the different standards. And it's important to put this on record so that there's a position here. The intent of the legislature was that this was exploration incentive credits. It was not the intent of the legislature that these credits be extended for
an indeterminate amount of time.
Yeah, forever, A, and B, that it only be for exploration. It was not intended that they be for, like, delineation wells, as an example. So we have clarified that position. And that clarification is one that has been agreed to by both the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Revenue. The other thing that we've done is House Bill 71 excluded ANWR. ANWR was in the original exploration credits that are still going through to 2007. So this bill deletes the provision that deleted ANWR. So ANWR is still in as it was always in. It's important to recognize that those credits expire in 2 years, the original credits. They expire in 2 years, and that there is at least one company that has stepped to the plate, so to speak, and is undergoing some work on the slope in anticipation of ANWR, and we're prepared to use the credits. The credits were extended. This bill keeps them in ANWR. The other thing that this House Bill 286 does is that it does delete Sections 1 and 2 of House Bill 71 that was in front of you. Now, Sections 1 and 2 are, of course, the sections that reference the findings and determined the 7 years and the rate of return that Ms. Robson spoke to previously. It's important to note that House bill is still in the possession of this committee. I can go through a sectional, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like. I think those are the differences. I think we've tried to keep everybody as current as we could as this developed, but it's pretty straightforward.
We could have, I believe, two hearings on 53, one or two,
yes,
I think.
And one on Senate Bill 163, which was incorporated into here. So there's only two new things, basically. Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out for you before you do have this that you had committee members that wanted to come back.
Right. No.
Okay.
I don't.
Thank you.
We're going to have some chance for other input before we do that. Senator Elton.
Just real quickly, and I may have misunderstood Mary's testimony, but she talked about the deletion of the provision that deleted ANWR. But does that mean ANWR is eligible until 2007 or another date?
Through the chair, Senator Elton, ANWR is eligible. ANWR was eligible in the original legislation. What you have before you is nothing that was, it was already there. The previous legislation attempted to exclude ANWR.
What I'm trying to get to is how long would the exploration credit apply to exploration in ANWR?
Through the chair, to 2007, the original exploration credits.
And one thing further, that was always the purpose. As a matter of fact, the governor expressed that. He said, this is to do two things, increase exploration and to fill up the pipeline with oil, create jobs. So that's kind of where that was misunderstood, because it also applied at the time to the NPRA, to both areas, even though they're federal. He wanted to extend those credits as far as he could. Senator Guest.
Mr. Chair. Mary, I'm familiar with Nanana and Cook Inlet. I'm not with Healy and Red Dog. Can you briefly go over those?
Yes, I can, if I can find my papers here. Mr. Chairman, we have handouts if you want to take a brief at ease. I do have handouts back here to pass
out. Okay, let's go off the record for just a minute.